Welcome to the Parents Place podcast with Hillary and Jen.
Welcome to the Parents Place podcast. Good to have our listeners here with us today, and we have a guest with us that we're so excited to introduce you to and to hear about his story and his experience. A boss. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Perfect. I was practicing it in my head, so I thought, can't mess this up already. He has been a presenter at the Family Place in the past, and it was so incredibly for the staff that was there, so incredibly insightful and helpful for us to hear his story that he's back. And he's here to share his story with you listeners out there. So we appreciate him taking the time and the preparation to be here. And I'm going to turn the time over to you if you want to introduce yourself a little bit.
Thank you so much. My name is Abbas Ehsani. I am a refugee from Afghanistan. And I came to the U.S. In July 2022. The first city that I moved and resettled, that is Utah, and the city is called Logan. A very friendly city, friendly people, friendly community. I have my siblings and my parents back in Afghanistan, and I'm living by myself here. I love to go hiking and camping, and I have amazing roommates. We're roommates and friends. Last year I experienced my first camping with my roommates, actually. We went to Zion National Park, and that was a really good experience of camping. I did some hikes in Logan last year. I loved the views and the places, the hikes. Now I'm living by myself. I have amazing friends and roommates. I work at CREC, at Cash Refugee and Immigrant Connection, a resettlement office in Logan. Yeah.
You picked a good spot to camp for your first time. I wanted to say that.
Absolutely, that is correct. Yeah.
I love Zion. It's one of my most favorite places to be.
I've never been there.
Oh, man, you've got to go. It is out of all of Utah's national parks, it is my favorite.
Is that where the arch is?
There are arches there, but no, that is different. So. Okay. and I'm so glad to hear that Logan was a welcoming, friendly place.
Oh, thank you. Actually, that is really true. I have great experience of having and making new friends in this community. The first person that I met was coming to work on my air conditioning at my apartment. And we chatted for a little bit, and he asked me that, do you have any roommates here? Because this is a big apartment and you are just by yourself. And I said, yeah, I'm a refugee and I'm from Afghanistan and I barely moved here. And I met that person in my apartment, and now he and his wife are really the greatest people that I met them. I celebrated Christmas Eve with them for the last 2 years.
Oh.
Yeah, sometimes they came to me, and sometimes I go to them to visit them. Other than that, I met their sons who helped me with making or preparing some resumes. He brought me a laptop from his friends. Really amazing friends, amazing people in this community. My neighbors, the fun fact about my neighbors, I had old couples neighbors that I lived with in that neighborhood for a few months, like 5 months. And after that, I had to move from that place. And I lost contact with them. It is over a year, but it was yesterday that the good thing happened. I didn't notice that they passed me. I had a contact of them, and I was texting them a few times, but I didn't get any response. But yesterday, when I saw the card that they sent it to me, when I was working at Crick, I saw there is a number, and I sent a text message to that number, and I hear back from them.
Mm-hmm.
That is really good, and I'm so happy that I have that in my on my schedule for this weekend to go and visit them once again. Yeah, they moved from that place. It is over a year, and I'm so glad that I have their new address and I can go to visit them.
Okay.
Yeah. This Cache Valley is really a friendly place. They really respect refugees, help a lot with refugees. And personally, I experienced that in my life. And I see, because I work in a resettlement office in Logan, in Cache Valley, I see that in real life that, yeah, this community is so helpful for refugees. Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, and I'm guessing that there are a lot of people that are thinking this. You mentioned about that first individual you met and how helpful they were. If we know of refugees that are in our neighborhood, that are in our area, what's the best way we can provide support and help to them?
I think the best thing it would be to say hi, because that way you make a kind of communication with them.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you interact with refugees and the new families that they came to your neighborhood, so you will find out the needs and the supports that they need. So that way you can make a kind of friendship, neighborhood and community, and also find out their needs, and you can support them. And you can share their needs with, if you can't afford all of those supports that they need, so you can talk to your neighbors or friends, and that way the word will spread out, and other people in this community, they are willing to help too. Yeah.
Okay.
That is what I experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that the first week that I moved to my apartment, there wasn't any people that I could talk in my apartment to. So that way I could go out, take a walk, and come back, and I was seeing that my neighbors are sitting in front of the apartment, and just I was saying hi, and that way we made a kind of communication, and we share personal information about, we talked about our families and friends, we shared about our experiences to each other. That way, when they wrote that letter to me, and I was really emotionally, I was really emotional that, oh, I had such great neighbors in that place. And they really thought about me to write that letter and send me some stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember moving from Arizona, that's where I grew up, and coming here to Cache Valley, it was a big culture shock
mm-hmm.
for me, because it was like city where I was living, and then I come here, and that was 20 some odd years ago, so
mm-hmm.
it was a lot smaller than it is now. But that was one thing that I always loved, was people sitting out in front,
mm-hmm.
or when they're driving down the road, and they always just wave,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, okay. I can handle this.
Well, and I think I love the advice that you share, because I make the assumption, but I think most people want to help. They're just not
that's
exactly
true.
Sure how.
Yes.
And I love that you're making it so simple as just saying, just say hello.
Yes.
Just say hello.
Yeah.
And start talking. And when you start talking, you're going to find out not only about them, but about maybe potential needs they
yes.
have. And then you can find ways to assist in providing.
Yes, exactly. The good news, sorry
no, you're
for interruption. The good news is that Cache Valley is having more refugees this year and the coming years, because Craig is now an official resettlement office that refugees are assigned to Craig, that Craig can help them to find new houses and jobs for refugees, so that way they can be resettled in Cache Valley. And I'm so happy that we would have more refugees in this friendly
yes.
County. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's really good for Cache Valley in general, because we are a very welcoming, friendly community. But I like the idea that more diversity is coming to Cache
yes.
Valley as
yes.
well too. I think
yes.
that's really good for
yeah.
us. So I'm curious, when you did come here, was there a choice as to, hey, I want to pick Logan, or how does that work?
That's a good question. This is a question that since I have been living in Logan, so many people asked this question when we had the conversation. How did you end up to Logan and Cache Valley? To be honest, when the first state that I was, I entered to the U.S. was Virginia, the place that is called National Conference Center. There were hundreds of Afghan refugees that they were coming from around the world to that place. And IRC was helping them to find new places that they can go, either state that they want, if they had any U.S. ties. But about me personally, I didn't have any U.S. ties. Like, it should be your immediate family members. Like, if you have cousins, siblings, or parents are living in the U.S., so give their contacts. So unfortunately, I didn't have those contacts. I had just only one friend in Logan, Cache Refugee and American Connection was helping them. So I asked my friend to give that kind of contact information from Craig staff that I can talk to, and I if they can help me to come to Utah. So that way my friend shared the contact of a case worker from Craig, and that way I contact her, that I said I sent some information for myself that, hey, this is Bossy Sani, I'm a refugee in National Conference Center in Virginia, and I want to come to Utah, Logan. So that way I ended up to Logan.
Okay. Yeah. It's just, I am very unfamiliar with that process, so I thought, we're such a small town. So I'm curious how people find us. But usually it's because there is a contact somewhere there.
There is a contact, yes. Behind that decision that I wanted to move to Utah was some of the research that I had when I was staying for 34 days in Virginia. That I was Googling that which state could be the best place that to go for the first place that for a refugee that can afford everything like housing, find a job. So I really don't have that what website I was searching or I could find out that Utah was a second state on that ranking. That Utah is a good place for a refugee because housing are really affordable. And jobs are really good, jobs opportunity. So that way I decided to move to Utah because I just wanted to get independent and self-sufficient at the soonest that I could.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was it coming to the United States? Like, had you been here before or was this your first time?
No, this was my first experience in my life. It was... as you shared about some culture shock, I did have that culture shock too. So, but I was kind of prepared myself that, this is a new country. These people have their own culture. The way that they communicate, the way that they talk, the way that they interact with people. So I was kind of prepared myself for that culture shock. When I moved to Logan, and I came to the U.S. when I moved to Logan, I saw different things in people's life that were way different from the culture or the way that we do in Afghanistan.
Sure.
Yeah. But one thing that could help me to get adjusted fast was being open to this culture shock, and day by day you get adjusted and your life will be smooth and everything gets normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm curious, was there anything specific that was most shocking to you when it came to our culture that you would have maybe never thought we do or don't do?
One thing that I personally experienced in my new home was the way that people interact or start some kind of conversation with a random person or a stranger. In Afghanistan, it is not very strict if you just go to a person and talk to them. But here in the US, it is, I think it is a little bit different. You have to build that trust first and just then you can communicate more. But in Afghanistan, you can invite some people to your house or give some food to them, share some foods. That way, the communication starts and that trust builds. So it is it was a little bit shock to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fine. I'm getting used to it. Yeah.
I would struggle in your hometown then. Because I'm like, ooh, strangers.
We are both welcoming but also love our own space at the same time. It's true.
I need to get over my fear. It's an irrational fear. There's no reason for it.
Yeah.
So thinking of your journey, what has probably been the most difficult part of it, most difficult transition?
The most difficult transition was being away from my family, and I miss my siblings, my parents, the city that I grew up there, and I was living for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big shock, and it was really hard to leave everything behind, and start over your life in a new place.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit, I shouldn't say a little bit, it was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first 2 weeks I didn't have contact with my family, and they were really worried about me too. And as soon as I got contacted with them, so that way I could manage or kind of control on emotional feelings that my parents really, I was talking with my mom, and every single time that I was talking to my mom, she was crying. And, don't do that, mom. Don't do that. I'm okay. I have my new apartment here. I have my new life here. I have enough food. I have, I'm making friends here. Yeah. And that way, day by day, it got better. And, that was a big shock for me.
Yeah.
One thing that could help me through that trauma was having the skill of speaking English and make communication with other people or talk to other people. That way you could just talk to people and spend some time with them. And it was really helpful. I remember the first time that I saw some other Afghans in Cache Valley. They didn't have the language skill, they couldn't speak English, and they were really feeling alone, and it was really hard. They needed help in every aspect of life. To go to a store and get some groceries, they were asking me to help them sometimes, or they wanted to send some money back to their families. Yeah, those sort of things was really hard, and I personally saw that my friends or my people from my country, they were struggling with that. But having the skill of the language that the people speak in that country is really helpful to get out of that trauma or to control that trauma. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that you already knew how to speak English before you arrived, or did you learn that over the past 2 years?
Thank you for your question. Yeah, personally, my language skill, I learned English in my country, and when I was going to high school, and I started, when I graduated from high school, I started teaching English in an English center in Afghanistan for a couple of years, and that way I had the language skill when I came to.
I was going to be very impressed that you have picked this up so eloquently in 2 years. But still, it's still an accomplishment. So
oh, thank
that's
you
very
so much.
Cool.
It is getting better, and I'm trying hard. to get to that point that when I talk to people, they might not guess that I'm not a native speaker.
Well, I've heard that English is one of the hardest languages to learn.
Well, it is for our own children trying to figure out how
well,
to
we
spell
have a lot
and
of
pronounce
dumb words.
Certain things.
Yeah.
Read and read. Why are those spelled the same way?
Yep. Said so differently.
Yes.
I know. I'm assuming it is hard to kind of find that balance of embracing this new culture, but still having, you know, your culture that you had growing up. And I'm guessing a lot of individuals, when they come here to the U.S., have a hard time doing that. So how do you find that balance of maintaining the old and embracing the new?
That's a good question. I think it would be a little bit hard for refugee families if they have their kids. Because personally, I myself, one thing that could help me was being open.
Mm-hmm.
And being open to everything that you see in this new place.
Mm.
The way that people live, the way that people interact or make communication, those sort of thing is really hard, because you might have experience that happens in your own country way different than here. But one thing that could help me to balance those differences was being open.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I could interact with people, I could find out more differences and more find outs helped me that to adjust myself to that, yeah, to those new culture differences that I see in the community.
Mm.
Yeah, that way it could help me to balance those sort of culture differences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you want to,
you're good.
you want to keep your native culture and all of that. You want to keep
exactly.
that. Exactly. But you want to learn. I would assume that you want to learn
mm-hmm.
and be a part of the community. So
that's why I love
that
you,
tricky.
You found this balance of like combining the best of both worlds.
Yes, yes. Yeah. As Janet said, it is very helpful. So everybody wants to keep their own culture and their own traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to have a very normal life and simple life, and you shouldn't have any kind of concerns, living in a new place is or be open, just find out as much as you can the differences,
mm-hmm.
and you can see that people leave, but it might be some few things different between two cultures, and you can adjust it
mm-hmm.
as much as you be open, as much as you have your research and find the differences.
Mm.
Yeah.
Being open in anything is just a good.
I was like, that is just great life advice in general.
Just be open to new experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And allow yourself to embrace, like the new.
Yeah.
I just think that's really cool. Do you see yourself living in Logan long term?
To be honest, I'm still struggling moving from Logan or staying in Logan because I really love this place.
Mm-hmm.
I really love this community. I don't want to go to a new place and start over again. But I can promise, I don't want to promise Cache Valley that I will stay here forever. But that is not something that I have decided yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know, life has so many things coming, and I don't see myself to move out of Logan and Utah or staying in Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. Be open, like you said, be open to the experience. And if
yes.
life takes you somewhere, I'm sure
yes.
that you will be, they'll be just as lucky to have you as we have been as well. So you've mentioned CRIC, and I know that some of our listeners are probably somewhat familiar with that organization and others may not be at all.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a little bit about what CRIC is?
Sure. CRIC, Cache Refugee and Immigrant Connection, is a resettlement office in Logan in Cache Valley. We are helping new refugees, new families that they came from other countries to the United States. We help those families to get resettled. We find houses and we help them to get benefits like food stamp, cash, and other resources that we have in the community and to the states. Well, after a while, we find them jobs that they can start having income and get self-sufficient at the soonest as they can, because relying on the benefits that you receive from the government mm-hmm. or from the states, that is not enough for a family, even for an individual. And as soon as you start having jobs, so that way you could be self-sufficient, mm-hmm. as personally I experienced that in my life here mm-hmm. as well. So we do help refugees with finding jobs, and we register their kids to school, and if they want to go to a college, we help them with that. Generally, Cash Refugee and Immigrant Connection helping welcoming new refugees and helping them to get resettled in Cache Valley.
Okay.
Yeah.
An amazing resource mm-hmm. and so needed.
Mm-hmm.
That is fantastic.
Yes, that is an amazing place to work with, and I am personally working there as a case manager. I really love my job helping refugees with their needs and help them to find their new home, the best place mm-hmm. of a new in the new country.
Mm-hmm.
For our community members, are there ways we can volunteer and help?
Sure, we have volunteers opportunities in different areas like housing, like walking, walking hours. We have different like donation drive. But those are the volunteers opportunities that if the community wants to have that interaction with Craig and with refugees, we really welcome them and we would be really happy to have them at Craig.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, obviously Craig is Cache Valley, but are there other agencies very similar in other parts of the U.S. that you know of?
We are local resettlement office. We are helping through the Church World Service or CWS, the national partner that help refugees or welcoming refugees. But there are other organizations and resettlement organizations or offices, not in Cache Valley, but outside the Cache Valley in Salt Lake, that they are helping like IRC or CCS. Those are the other refugees or national partners that they are helping with refugees as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oftentimes when we talk about resiliency and we share these stories, we hear about strengths that the individuals have that have helped them to, you know, go through these difficult times. And so when you look at yourself personally, are there certain strengths and skills that you have that you can see have really helped support you during this time?
Yes. One of the things about refugees that I see is that they might have a very professional jobs in their home countries.
Mm.
But when you move in or when you come to the United States, so you will definitely need a job to support your family.
Yeah.
I would say that if you are looking to have a very professional job in the US, it takes some time. Mm. But the good option would be that to be open. If you really want to support your family, to be open to any kind of job that you can start at the soonest, that way you can make some better opportunities for yourself to go to school or mm-hmm. go to or take short-term courses that you can make a career for yourself, and that way you can build a better life for yourself and the family. So One of the strength that I personally had was being open. It was, I think this is something that really could help me with that. I didn't expect to go or to have a very professional job. I didn't expect to go, for example, to have an office environment job. So I was open to any kind of job that could help me to get self-sufficient. Being open to anything can help you with your life in the US, and a strength that helped me with that in my personal life was being open. I started my first job at a production company, and my first job was actually working as a TA at English Language Center, helping other refugees to learn English. The second job was working in a production company, and that way I could make some skills and job backgrounds or experiences that could help me to apply for other jobs. Having the language skill and being open, those are the strength that I had and helped me through my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's so sad that people come and they have these jobs as, you know, doctors, accountants, engineers, all of these things, and they can't use those skills once they come to the U.S. And I'm like, isn't there just a test that they can show that they're competent and be done with it? And allow them to use their skills that they have.
Yeah. Actually, sorry, regarding to what you were saying, there are some resources that a refugee can evaluate their documents and they can work. So it takes time.
Yeah.
And as much as if you wait, so you may lose time. But if you start working at the meantime, you do evaluation of your documents. That way you can make work experiences in the US, and that can help part of your resume and applying for a new job when your documents get evaluated. Yeah.
Time is always a hard thing.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's like you need work.
Yeah.
You want to be able to sustain your family.
Yes.
But here, wait a little while.
Yeah.
And then we'll let you use your skills. And that is just... I see it both ways. I understand both ways, but it's just frustrating.
Yeah. So, sky's the limit. You can do whatever you want here in the U.S. Where would you love to see yourself eventually? What profession? What would you want life to look like?
Thank you for that amazing question. That is a question, actually, every time that I ask myself, it helps me to try a lot and work hard more than I did. I want to be a web development engineer. I am currently learning how to build the website.
Yes.
And that is my something that I want to make that career for my future. And I see myself in a few years that to work in a big country, in a big company for as a web developer, and that is what I really want. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I mean, with how quickly technology is going, we're going to need people like you. So
yeah.
That's a great position to be
technology
in.
Technology, the technology is changing is really require people to have that sort of knowledge, to make those changes.
Very cool. Okay, I've got one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those individuals that are, you have a unique story and we recognize that, but there may be some individuals that are listening that have had or may at some point have similar experiences. So if you could offer maybe one final piece of feedback to those individuals listening, what would it be?
The only thing that I could say is that United States is known as the land of opportunity. And that is really true. It is not something imagination. It is really something true. So do work hard, do whatever you want, and see yourself where you want to be. And this is the place, this is the country that you really would be able to get there. Never give up, just work hard, and always have your hopes alive, and you will get there.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for that reminder.
Thank you.
Because I think that is a good reminder for all of us to recognize that we are blessed and that we have the ability to aspire to whatever we want to be. So
exactly.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. We really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for your time and having me here for the podcast. One thing that I really want to say before we end up this podcast is I am really thankful of this friendly community that we have in Cache Valley and the friendly people that they are helping refugees in any way that they can. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Cache Valley, and thank you, this friendly community.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. And it's you are a pleasure to be with and to talk with. And so thank you for coming.
Thank you. It is my pleasure.
All right. Thank you, listeners, for coming today. We appreciate you coming. We want to remind you to be kind and patient with yourself. And we will see you back here next week.
Thank you for listening to the Parents Place podcast. If you would like to reach us, you can at parents@thefamilyplaceutah.org, or you can reach Jen on Facebook, jendaly-thefamilyplace. Please check out our show notes for any additional information. Our website is thefamilyplaceutah.org if you're interested in any of our upcoming virtual classes. We'd love to see you there.